can't help but think about the Exodus, how they were up against the sea. What did Yahweh want them to do? He wanted them to trust in Him, and they wanted them to move forward. And we are to move forward. We are to move forward doing the Father's will. And what is that will? Well, certainly we know that Yahshua lived a perfect life, and we are to strive for perfection. That means living Yahweh's way of life, because He knows what is best for us. And He knows that we are a weak and base people. So He has patience with us. Just as the Israelites tested Him many times, I think many times, though unintentionally, we slip and make mistakes. Well, Yahweh's there to help us. We have Yahshua, our high priest, as a mediator for us. And so we get help. We are able to move forward. And during these, in the midst of unleavened bread, of course, we should be thinking about the Exodus and coming out of Egypt. And I remember having taken Passover some years back and then unleavened bread, but I didn't have the understanding that I was to take of unleavened bread each day through the days of unleavened bread. Once I started to realize that and started doing it, I recognized that there's a lesson in that. And the lesson is that I kept recalling Yahshua. I kept recalling His sacrifice. It came to mind. So through that physical act, I was learning a spiritual lesson that we are not alone, that Yahshua is with us and is helping us. And He lived a life of overcoming, and we are to live the same. No matter what happens, we are to overcome to the end. And thinking about the overall feast days, Passover, starting there, of course, the first day of unleavened bread, going through the days of unleavened bread, we come into Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what if Yahshua was to return within the next 10 years? That would probably be within our lifetime then. So instead of looking at the feast days in the broad sense, maybe we can condense that even for us today, where we can think, okay, I've come into the Messiah. The Messiah has come into me because I've been baptized. We have been baptized, and we're immersed in Yahshua's name. We then start walking forward with His help, just like the unleavened bread, I should say, reminding us of Him. We think of the Exodus, the coming out of Egypt and moving on, hoping for this promised land, knowing that it's promised. And so we move forward. But we know that the day of Pentecost represents a harvest. We know that there is an overall harvest that's going to take place. Yahshua is going to return. An atonement is going to happen for the people. And then the kingdom is really established when Yahshua returns. So we have this overall picture. And I realize that it doesn't have to be all necessarily stretched out. It can be condensed. I was watching a program earlier which showed the magnification through the times of 10, through this progression. You could see the expanse of the universe and the galaxies, the different galaxies. And then it went down to the smallest items, the neutrons and protons and these type of things, and the neutrinos. And it's just amazing how these things are. But Yahweh's way of thinking is much higher than ours. And when you come into the Messiah and have His thinking within your own thinking, you start to see certain things, and you realize the depths of the word of Yahweh. And it's something that's quite remarkable. just kind of like that program that was showing the magnification of the universe and even the magnification of the small things. It's quite amazing. Well, we're given insight by keeping these feast days, by moving forward. And unleavened bread is a time to put away false teachings, to put away ways contrary to Yahweh's way. And we have to keep His way in mind because He is our focus. He is to be our focus. And of course, we see Him through the Messiah. We see that by walking in the Messiah's footsteps, we can walk as Yahweh would have us walk, because Yahshua walked as the Father had Him walk. That's not always easy, and it wasn't necessarily easy for Yahshua. But He never gave up. He never went astray. And so He's a perfect example for us. Looking in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and to struggle, it means to make strenuous efforts. It means to proceed with difficulty and great effort. In looking and thinking about, well, what Paul said, he said, you know, run the race to win it, as if to win a prize, because indeed there is a prize at the end of the race. And I looked up win or winning, and the Middle English is winnin', from Old English, winnin, W-I-N-N-A-N, means to struggle. And it's akin to Old High German winnin, to struggle as well. It's to get possession of by effort, to obtain by work, to gain as if in battle or a contest, to be the victor in, to reach by expenditure of effort, to gain victory in a contest, to succeed in arriving at a place or at a state. Now, we haven't arrived at that state. We haven't arrived at that place just yet. But we are striving, and we are looking towards that kingdom and Yahweh's righteousness. And we're moving forward. Can we take the easy way to eternal life? Let's go over to chapter 18 in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18 and verse 2. In a certain city, it's a parable of Yahshua that he gave. In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear Yahweh and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear Yahweh or respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And Yahweh said, or the Master said, "Hear what the righteous judge said. Now will not Yahweh bring about justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? I tell you that He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" I looked in another translation, and it basically said, will Yahshua find men trusting in Yahweh? Will things be so bad that we will begin to wonder what's going on? How come people aren't listening to me? How come this place isn't full of brethren? How come when people ask a question, I give them an answer, they kind of go, "Oh, okay, that's interesting," and they walk away? Why is it that we struggle and aren't able to do some of the things that we think we would like to do? Well, we're certainly given our needs. We're presented with the tools to do these things. And certainly Yahweh has His plan worked out, and says many are called but few are chosen. And so we find also that Scripture talks about a famine of the Word in latter days. Now, it's not just a famine of the Word, it's a famine of the hearing of the Word. So it's not that the word's not being preached. It's people aren't listening. And yet, there's so much that's being offered to those that are listening right now. But we can't give up hope. And we know that we must trust in Yahweh. Even though, just like the children of Israel going up against the water with the Egyptians coming behind them. If we come into a situation like that, we have to trust in Yahweh. We have to know that He will part the sea. We may have to get our feet wet, just like the priests who were carrying the ark before they crossed the Jordan. They had to get their feet wet. And so we may have to do the same as well. But we, like the widow, must persevere. That's one of the requirements to overcoming to the end. Let's go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of Elohim through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. And what a day will that be, to see Him as He is, and that those that overcome to the end in Him will be like He is. It's not worth even comparing to this life, as Paul said. He didn't believe it was worth comparing to this life, because it's so much greater. What is coming is so much greater. Let's go over to James, the book of James. And I prayed about what to talk about today, and I realized that these messages need to be geared towards helping, to help the hearer, those that will hear. And we know that there are those that won't hear. They may be here, but will shut us out because they don't want to hear what is said, that we have to obey some law, that we have to do this or that. Oh, can't we just believe? Can't we just do our own thing? Can't we just rock in our rocking chair and let life go by, and then I can wait for the Master to return? It sounds wonderful. It kind of tickles my ears. But we can't let that type of teaching persuade us to walk away from the truth that we've been given. And we'll take a look at the seed and the sower and understand why we need to grow and to move forward. But in James 1, in verse 4, it says, "Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." To be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That would be nice. Are we perfect? Are we complete? Are we lacking nothing? Well, I think Paul described himself coming to a point where he could, whether he was without or with, he could rejoice either way. So he found himself being able to understand that there's something coming better than even the best that he could find himself in. And the worst that he found himself in, he could still think about Yahshua. And he did that in prison even. I'm sure he looked at the centurion that was standing there and thought about that helmet of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword that we are to have in our hands and in our minds and in our hearts. Not a physical sword, but a spiritual one. It's one that we have to have while moving forward. Because in a sense, we are in a battle. and we have to fight. And for those that say, oh, you don't have to do the law, we can say a word or two to defend the faith that we've been given. And it is a faith to walk as Yahshua walked, to teach as he taught, to live as he lived. Let's go over to Galatians. I want us to not give up hope. I find it rather almost disheartening to hear Yahshua say, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? It tells me that things are going to get bad, that there is going to be a famine of the hearing of the words of Yahweh, that people are going to be doing their own thing, that people will not listen, even though you give them the evidence for the faith that we hold true. And we need to gird our loins, to have the feet of peace, or the shoes of peace, to have these things about us, as Paul talked about the armament that a soldier is to have. There are things that will help us. We need to think about those things. Think about righteousness. Think about truth. Think about faith and have these things. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, we're admonished. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And I'm afraid some do grow weary. And in growing weary, it's a time that Satan can come in and go, do you really need to do what you're doing? Why don't you just take it easy for a while? Come over here. Follow me. It's nice over here. You don't have to do anything. And yet we find that we have much to do. Verse 10, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those that are of the household of faith. James 5. James chapter 5 and verse 10. There have been those that went before us. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of Yahweh's dealings, that Yahweh is full of compassion and is merciful. Going back in 2 Chronicles, Esau won a victory. He's the third king of Judah, and he reigned for 41 years. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. The Ethiopians came up against him, or they went up actually in battle with them. Notice in verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 14. Esau did good and right in the sight of Yahweh his Elohim. In verse 11, and Esau called to Yahweh his Elohim and said, Master, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Yahweh our Elohim, for we trust in you. And in your name have come against this multitude. O Yahweh, you are our Elohim. Let not man prevail against you. Makes me think about Yahshua and how he said the gates of hell or the Hades would not overcome the assembly. Though few in number, though weak, would persevere. How? Because they trust and they rely on Yahweh the Father. He is their Elohim. In chapter 15 and verse 1 there. Now the spirit of Elohim came on Azariah, which means Yahweh has helped. the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Esau and said to him, now, mind you, this is after the battle was won. And Esau and all Judah and Benjamin, and Yahweh is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And that's a lesson for us. We need to trust in him. We need to draw close to him. If we need to fast, we need to fast. If we need to pray, we need to pray. And I think both of those are appropriate and should be done more often than not. Verse 3, it says, for many days Israel was without the true Elohim and without a teaching priest and without law. How important are all those things? We have a high priest. We have instructions. We have our Father in heaven. And we need to draw close to him. Verse 4, but in their distress they turned to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. In those days there was no peace on him who went out, or to him who came in, for many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. Nation was crushed by nation, city by city, for Elohim troubled them with every kind of distress. But you be strong and do not lose courage, for there is a reward for your work. So they were expected to follow his instructions. They were expected to be an example to the rest of how Yahweh is to be lived out in this life, his way of doing things. Esau, the good king, sought Yahweh in battle, and the enemy was run off. Then Yahweh sent his prophet to tell Esau and the people of Judah that they need to stay close to Yahweh, and he will reward them for their work. Well, what kind of work do we have today? In Matthew chapter 9, we know that we are to actually be praying for workers in Matthew 9 and verse 36. It says, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. This is Yahshua, an example of his, they were there with him. It says, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech Yahweh of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Are we to pray? What are we to pray about? Are we to fast? What are we to fast about? We need to fast and pray that we do not lose courage, that we do not lose heart, because we know that there's a reward for those that overcome to the end, that keep moving forward. Matthew 10 and verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. We know that Yahshua told him this, prayed for this. John 17 and verse 18 says, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. So here Yahshua gets sent in the world. What, you know, even John the Baptist, what was his message? And wasn't he moving forward? Repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. How much closer are we now than at that time? I'd say quite a bit closer. Could it be that we will see within our lifetime Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles be fulfilled? The plan of Yahweh being fulfilled. Amazing. And yet we also see, just before the time of Yahshua, that there's going to be a famine of the hearing of the words of Yahweh. They will not listen. Why? Satan deceives the whole world, it says in Revelation. And so here we are, in the midst of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, thinking about these things, considering what Yahweh would have us to do. And we find that the example has been given to us of what we should be doing. Matthew 3 and verse 2. Aren't we in the wilderness? A form of or type of wilderness. Matthew 3 and verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 4 and verse 17, from that time Joshua began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He sends his disciples. What do they start doing? Repent. They start saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Whose spirit is behind that? Yahweh's spirit is behind that. And it's not a message that you hear a lot of today, do you? It's not really being preached. First John. First John 4. And what are we to repent of? I mean, let's just consider that for a moment. I mean, what are Yahweh's ways? Isn't it His instructions, His law, His way way for us? I mean, we're still a physical people. We're still needing to do certain things. I mean, we don't want to eat fat or pork, these type of things. That's unclean for us. Though Yahweh said, give me the fat. Why would He do that? Well, He's spiritual. It doesn't hurt Him. But He cares for His people. And for His people, He doesn't want them eating pig. He doesn't want them eating fat. And today we have an overweight society because they don't listen. I mean, in many ways. Now, we understand that there are different medical conditions. And we know that, you know, we're to have compassion, mercy. So we do what we can, and Yahweh understands. But if we, like Paul said, if we know to do right and we don't do it, to us it's sin. And so we have to move forward doing what we can with the help of His Spirit. Because there is a spirit other than Yahweh's in this world that we are to avoid like the plague. 1 John 4 and verse 6. We are from Yahweh. He who knows Yahweh listens to us. He who is not from Yahweh does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there's a lot of people out there that won't listen to us. Does that mean we clam up? We don't say nothing to them? I don't think so. Ezekiel 2 and verse 7. Here's a prophet that spoke what he was told to speak. Even though the people were rebellious and stiff-necked and didn't want to hear, Ezekiel was told to tell them. And Ezekiel 2 and verse 7, but you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. So we have something to do. We are to let people know, even though they are rebellious, so that they may be witnessed to, so that they can't say, well, I didn't know any of that. I didn't know that was coming. Tribulation. I was going to be raptured. Isn't that in the scriptures? Well, there's many things that are being taught out there that aren't exactly found in scripture. Matthew 10, verse 22 says, you will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Again, enduring, overcoming, moving forward, helping others along the way, teaching the word, holding fast to Yahweh and Yahshua, following in Yahshua's footsteps, doing what He did. Because we know that what He did is what the Father wanted of Him. And so, you know, we find the example that it's for us as well. Second Timothy verse 3, or chapter 3, rather. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live righteously in Messiah Yahshua, notice, in Messiah Yahshua, walking as he did, will be persecuted. We had a Bible study here the other night, and we were in, wasn't it Acts 6, I think? Last one. Or the one before that. But we were looking at Stephen, and of course, Stephen was martyred. And the question came up, do you want to be filled with the Spirit? Do you want to be strengthened like he was? Well, he was actually doing signs, Well, it says in verse 10 of 6, you don't have to turn there, but it says, they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the Spirit by which he was speaking. But he was, in verse 8, Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, we're doing a bit of that even today with the few that are here, and we know, those of us here, that is indeed few. But look at the work that's being accomplished. We can't say it's us. We can't say, oh, look at what I've done. I didn't do all this. Yahweh's Spirit did, through the people that have come forward to help with the work. And that is quite the responsibility, to be called, to be chosen, to move forward, to help others, to learn of Yahweh's way, to be in that spirit. But the question is, and the question that came up is, do we want to be full of the Spirit as Stephen was? And the reason that was asked is because Stephen was martyred, persecuted, hated, killed, because he spoke out, because he told the truth. He told it to the leaders. He told it to the people that would listen. And those that heard didn't like it. And yet he was telling the truth. And he gave an example of what, he gave a condensed history from times long past to today. And he called those there, he said that they were resisting the Spirit. Are we resisting the Spirit when we know that we should be keeping Passover, days of unleavened bread? Do we resist the Spirit when we once in a blue moon have ham and eggs, you know? We go to McDonald's. Oh, you know, I'm just really famished. I could have that ham taken off, but I decide not to. When you resist Yahweh's word, you're resisting His Spirit, because it was the Spirit. It was Yahshua Himself that gave the words. I mean, we know that He was the mediator between Yahweh and the people at that time. And today is the mediator between us and the Father. He knew the law inside and out. He walked perfectly, keeping that law, bringing it up a level, as we are to also not forsake those things that we're to do, but also have the weightier matters of the law, mercy and compassion. Love, these type of things. But you don't have love by breaking Yahweh's word. It just isn't right. And those of us here understand that. And that's why we're here. We're told to congregate, gather on this particular day. This day is holy. We don't have the right to take a different day and say, okay, I'm going to make that day holy. Yahweh made the seventh day holy. The history of this day goes all the way back. It can be proven going back to Messiah's time. He did tell the Pharisees a thing or two about what they were doing, the laws that they added which even deleted the father's laws, but he never rebuked them for keeping a different day, a wrong day on the weekly Sabbath. He never said, well, you should be keeping this on the first day of the week, even though my father says the seventh day. No, he never did anything like that. But yet today we find those keeping a different day and saying, I'll worship Yahweh every day. Oh, well, if you worship him every day, why are you worshiping him on Sunday? I mean, there's a logical way we can look at this. I mean, if the Father says, this you shall do, this you shall not do, it's not a parable. It's not something that, you know, we all can't kind of, I really don't really understand what that means. No, thou shalt not means thou shalt not. They're not suggestions, they're commands. And we find that Yahshua was very adamant about his Father's will for us and for himself. He walked according to that law, according to that way of life. And we needed to be justified, because we have the death penalty put upon us. So we have Yahshua justifying us, putting away the death penalty for us. But just as, you know, a judge may pardon you and say, okay, I'm going to forgive you of your transgressions. You're free. Okay? Person gets brought back. Hey, this person was doing just the same thing that you forgave him of. Really? Okay, lock him up. Throw away the key. We can't disobey our Heavenly Father. It's not right. We need to move forward in obedience. And I make that point because we get people that are calling. They are seeking the truth. At least that's what they say. But when the law comes up, they go, well, I believe Messiah took care of all that. They don't understand what he took care of. So we try to help the best we can, but many people come, find out what's going on, and then leave because they just don't have the heart to understand, it seems. So we wonder sometimes. Let's see, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live righteously in Messiah Yahshua will be persecuted. And so there are those that tell us we're wrong, that we don't know what we're doing. And they tell others as well. But so be it. For the time being, that's the way it's going to be. But we still need to tell people. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 14. This evangel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony, as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come, to all peoples. So that's where the message is going. It's going out. It's moving forward. And we're either moving forward with it or we're not. Simple as that. Mark 4 and verse 3. Very insightful. And I do think we understand this parable here. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seed fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. So which group do we want to be in? Do we want to be where the birds come and eat the seed? Do we want to be where we grow up a little bit, but then the sun scorches us? Do we want to be choked by thorns and choked by these type of things? You know, do we want to go out in the world after we come in, coming to understand the word of Yahweh, and then go out into the world and live our lives, it would take nothing for us to just be taken away by that. We wouldn't stick around. And some don't stick around. But other seeds, the seed that we want to be, fell onto good soil, and they grew up and increased, and they yielded a crop, produced 30, 60, 100-fold. So this seed grew up, produced more seeds in a sense, grew more, so it multiplied, duplicated. And, as people come that will listen, we try to help them. Hopefully, those that we talk to, it'll click with them later on. Maybe not now, but after they've studied more and they think about it. I mean, these are some of the deep truths of Yahweh's Word. This is not superficial milk, or as Paul would put it. We're into the meat of the Word, into the substance. And some people end up choking on this because they just don't, the Savior came to save me. The Father's in heaven looking down on me. He's merciful and kind and true. And that's true. And that's basic understanding. That's true to Yahweh's Word, but it goes deeper than that. There's much in the soil. There's much nutrients in the soil. I know Elder John, you gave this message here a while back. You talked about the good soil. And I think there is very good soil here at this assembly. We need to help share this with others so that when Yahweh is calling someone, they'll have some help. I mean, we water, we plant. Ultimately, Yahweh causes the growth, as the Scripture talks about. But we do have a purpose for telling people the good news, and the evangel has to move forward and started out even before Yahshua came. Repent. Repent of what? Repent of our own ways. Let's follow Yahweh's ways and start doing what He wants to do, what He wants us to do. And we need to change our ways and overcome and move forward. For the coming kingdom is indeed coming. First John, we went there. Let's go over to Acts chapter 1. One thing that is very evident is that when we are immersed and have the hands laid upon us, the eldership, we do receive a spirit. We receive not the spirit of error that this world has, but Yahweh's Spirit. And that Spirit gives us insight. It helps us to stay grounded. That is, if we don't quench that Spirit, if we don't follow our own ways of doing things, it's a combination. We have to study into the Word. We have to get into the meat. We have to get into good soil. We have to get those nutrients. The Spirit is there to help, and it gives us encouragement and helps us to overcome. If we don't quench it, we are not to quench it. Acts 1 and verse 8. It says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Why would we go to the remotest part of the earth? To teach all nations. It's to fulfill the commission that the people of Yahweh have been given. So all glory and honor goes to Yahweh through Yahshua. They will give us a reward for our efforts. It's not, we just are, puppets and we're just doing this. Hebrews 11, verse 6. "Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to Elohim, or to Yahweh, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." And in fact, that reward is coming with Yahshua. Revelation 22 and verse 12. It says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done." Notice that. Not, here's a present. You did nothing, but here you go anyway. No, it's according to what you've done. So, as far as putting effort into helping, certainly there's going to be an appropriate award for that effort and that work. John chapter 15. Getting close to closing up here. John 15, verse 4. Joshua tells us, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in them, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So we do not want to quench the Spirit. We do not want to do that because, in effect, we're turning away from the Father. Because the only way we have access to the Father is through the Messiah. So if you turn away from the Messiah, you're in effect turning away from the Father. We can move forward in Yahshua. By taking unleavened bread, we remember it is He who gave His life for us, and then we need to learn of His ways, which are actually Yahweh's ways. Going down to verse 9, "Just as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Do we need to repeat that? Do we understand that, what it's saying? This is clear in the sense it's not a parable. He's not trying to trick anyone. He's saying to his disciples and to his people plainly, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." May Yahweh bless you.